the March 22, 2011, regular meeting 2011-5 will please come to order. I'd ask that you all rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you call the roll, please.
Mr. Anderson?
Here.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dahl?
Here.
Mr. Ditto? Mr. Sanford? Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mayor Botello?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have first before us our role as the Board of Equalization, and I will recess the assembly and convene us as the Board of Equalization. Madam Clerk, if you would treat the roll call for the assembly as the roll call for the board. We have two resolutions before us. Our process tonight will be to hear testimony and review written submissions with respect to the proposed role, make any corrections that we choose based on that testimony and recommendations from staff, and at that point we will reconvene as an assembly and adopt the respective, I should say adopt, we will consider the respective resolutions. With that, Madam Clerk, we have Resolution 2565 before us. You read the title, please.
A resolution confirming the assessment role for Local Improvement District Number 130, fixing the time and method of payment of assessments, setting the day of levy, and fixing the time of delinquency and the penalties and interest therefor.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would confirm the assessment role for Local Improvement District Number 130. This is the West Mendenhall Valley Sewer Phase 3 for the purpose of installing sanitary sewer serving the property owners within the LID boundary, which is Glacier Highway from Industrial Boulevard to the top of Peterson Hill, including side streets, with the exception of Sherwin Lane, which is included in LID 98. The proposed assessments are shown in the LID 130 assessment roll. Notices were published in the paper and sent to residents in the LID area, so they would be aware they'd have an opportunity this evening to make their views known to the Assembly.
Mr. Manager, have we received any written communications to your knowledge with regard to the LID 130?
Let me look here. We have a number of them. You have copies of all the written ones.
Those, I think, are all with respect to 98.
Okay. I believe they're all with regard to LID 98, then, Mr. Mayor.
And perhaps, Mr. Manager, you could also explain the interaction with Ordinance 2011-08, which is on our agenda tonight, with regard to the property owners not in LID 130.
So the normal process is you do need to recess as Board of Equalization to consider the assessment role, and it's also an opportunity for those folks to come and testify. At that point, you need to make a decision as to whether or not you'll consider any objections that you hear, make any adjustments to the assessment role at the conclusion of this hearing, and at that point you will then finish as the Board of Equalization. You will then reconvene back into the Assembly, and then the ordinances tonight will simply adopt these proposed assessment rolls that you hear for whatever decisions you make that will formalize and make it final. Is that clear?
Mr. Hartle, anything further to add?
One item from the PBJ ordinance on LID, any objections not made in writing shall be conclusively presumed to have been waived. So the only opportunity a person has is to make it in writing, and I think that time has now passed as it's discussed.
let me ask, would it be appropriate at this point to determine whether there is any individual who wishes to speak to the matter?
Certainly.
And is there anyone here who wishes to speak to LID 130? Seeing none, let me ask to the Assembly, sitting as the Board of Equalization, whether they wish at this point to modify the roll. Hearing none, that will be the action of the Board of Equalization, and we will take the matter up as the Assembly with regard to Resolution 2565. We next have before us Resolution 2566, Madam Clerk.
This is a resolution confirming the assessment role for local improvement district number 98, fixing the time and method of payment of assessments, setting the day of levy, and fixing the time of delinquency and the penalties and interest, therefore.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would confirm the assessment role for local improvement district 98, that's the West Mendenhall Valley Sewer, for the purpose of installing sewer serving property owners within the boundaries, which generally includes the Industrial Boulevard and Crazy Horse Drive area, extending to Brentwood Place and Sherwood Lane. The proposed assessments are shown on the LID 98 assessment roll. Again, notices were published in the paper and sent to all residents within the LID area, so they would know they'd have the opportunity this evening to make their views known to the Assembly.
We have three individuals who have asked to speak on this matter, and again, we should each of us have in our either red folder or packets, objections received in writing. I'll call first on A. Oinda. Sir, if you'd come forward here. And if I could have you just state your full name for our record along with your address, and you may begin.
Arnie T. Oidna, 2343 Kevin Court, Juneau, 99801. I referenced this letter I received dated March 4th. Second paragraph, second sentence states, the cost to be borne by all of the benefited properties is approximately $850,000. I question why I was sent this letter because my property is not benefited. These units are designated storage condos. They were never permitted for sewer or water hookups. I couldn't hook up to the sewer and water if I tried. There is no way that I could do that. And I question why I should pay for something that I can never use.
Questions to Mr. Oinda? Mr. Manager, this issue may arise again during the course here. We could take it up at this point or at the conclusion of the public testimony. Your preference?
Doesn't matter to me, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Swope, the question being asked is the extent to which we can justify an assessment for water sewer improvements when the property owner is barred from actually making use of those improvements.
I know this issue came up and it was discussed at great length when this LID first came up. And, in fact, there was a lot of discussion about those storage units. And, in fact, I think at the time we had a lot of discussion. And I guess I have to say, while currently those are not permitted for that purpose, in discussing with the engineering department and community development department, that doesn't mean that in the future they can't be. In fact, you say they physically cannot be. That I don't believe that's true. The way they're designed, at some point in time, you can certainly get water and sewer to all those units. And in fact, whether it's legal or not, the problem is we're finding a lot of those units are being occupied either as living space or for purposes other than what they're originally intended. So my recollection is we had quite a lengthy discussion about that and, in fact, determined that water and sewer can be gotten to those units eventually. Code can always be changed to allow that to happen. And in fact, there has been a lot of interest in people installing bathrooms, running water, and other things in those units. And the fact that water and sewer is close and available does, in fact, improve the property and the value of those units.
Thank you, Mr.
I disagree. The property cannot be accessed for water and sewer because to do so, you would have to dig up the entire driveway between the condos, and we belong to an association. People need to move their boats in and out, especially during the summertime, and that's when construction would have to begin in the summertime. And that driveway, per our, it cannot be blocked. You can't even leave a car there overnight. So, no, somebody really needs to go down there and have a look at that, because you cannot plumb in water and sewer if you look at our guidelines for the condo association and the requirements we have to abide by.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Oyndek? Thank you for your testimony. Next, Mr. Michael Scott.
Yeah, Michael Scott, 10115 Silver Street, Juneau, Alaska. I'm an owner of unit number 12 at Riverview Condominiums. And I'd have to echo Arnie's sentiments to some degree. What I would like to see happen would actually be waive these particular assessment fees at this time. If it is the fact that at some point the ordinances do change and the zoning regulations do change and we can get water and sewer, I'd be happy to pay the assessment. Give me a sink and a toilet. And I'd be happy to do that and certainly, pay a reasonable assessment for that. I've participated in other LIDs as a property owner in Juneau, and I certainly think it's fair and not a problem, but when we get no benefit from it for the foreseeable future, I'd have to say why.
Questions for Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott, let me ask you, Mr. Oinda's testimony was one of the major barriers are going to be the covenants with respect to the homeowners. Mm-hmm. Aside from code, is there any city-imposed barrier to development of the access to the
No, it would just be the building code in the city code that disallows, functioning toilet or water in
those units.
And if at some point that changed, then certainly I think, property owners could pay an assessment at that point.
Any further questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Well, I thought it was in my service.
Next, Mr. Marty Holmberg.
Marty Holmberg, 7833 North Douglas Highway, and I would be representing Fairweather Equitation Center on Crazy Horse Drive. The sewer system does border our property. We have no facilities, no bathroom. We rent an outhouse from Tyler Rental. That's probably in the paper we set out. We have no building that houses any sort of facilities that we can use to house a bathroom. We would have to build a building to code. We would have to get power to it, water to it, the sewer line to it. And the estimate on that cost was about $12,000. So with a $15,000 assessment, that's approximately $27,000 for something just to be able to use this new service, not including the fees for hookup. I don't think there's any question about it benefiting the property for later use. If you tore down the stables, if you rezoned everything, if you did everything like that, that would benefit the property. But right now, it puts us in a hardship. It's a nonprofit organization. It's not like there's There's no structure. There's no method of getting funds to build this structure. I see that there is a condo. If I took a look in the letter from John Bohan at the very bottom, I thought there was something about condominiums and how much they were assessed. Now, our stalls are purchased individually, just like condominiums. We pay an assessment like a condo fee, and we're really looking for relief from the high assessment. I think it would be greatly appreciated. I know it would be if we could reduce it, change it, call it a condominium. We got condos right behind us. It's very similar to condominium, and it's going to be dire hardship on us for a $15,000 assessment and still not get a service and have no service and not have it in the foreseeable future. So that's...
Questions for Mr. Holmberg. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Holmberg, so how many stalls do you have?
28.
28. So yep. Are you suggesting that those 28 stalls should be considered as 28 condominium units?
If that would be a financial benefit to the overall property, yeah. When I came here, I read the letter, said just came up with the idea if we could do that. $15,000 compared to a couple hundred dollars per stall is a great difference, especially when we have one water hose for the entire piece of property and nothing would be going into the sewer system.
Mr. Holmberg, is there anything that would prevent you from, in essence, passing that on to the stall?
No, we would have to do that. We would have to do that one way or the other. I mean, if you would say $250 per stall times 28 stalls, that's your new assessment, then that's exactly what we would do. We would incorporate it into a condo fee and assess it to the individual owners, just like a condominium would.
I guess my question would be that if we made no change, that's going to be the consequence in any event, isn't that the case?
Yeah. And it one would just be a relief due to the high cost, and yeah, it would.
Any further questions?
I guess I would have a question perhaps for the attorney, Mr. Mayor. I think what Mr. Holmberg is really concerned with is the requirement that he hook up. Is there anything
No, I talked to the engineering department a while ago, and they said we could even get an exemption. The hookup fees are minuscule compared to the $15,000. It's the building of the facility to house the bathroom. We're going to pay $15,000, like it or not, and not get any service. Then we're going to have to add $12,000 just to build the building to house the bathroom, to connect the power, to connect the water. I mean, it's going to be $27,000 before we get anything. So we found out from the engineering department that we could get an exemption. We could sign up for an exemption. It wasn't guaranteed because we have no facilities on site other than a porta potty.
Further questions for Mr. Holmberg? Well, thank you for your testimony. Let me ask if there is any other property owner within the proposed LID 98 who would like to testify. If not, we'll close that. And the question before us is whether we're going to accept or modify the proposed roll. Questions for the manager, I think, Mr. Dahl and Mr. Anderson.
I would just had a comment on it, Mr. Mayor, so I'll defer to Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Just a question. I was wondering if Mr. Swope, if you know what the totality of the LID assessments are for the boat, for the condominiums.
So for the condominiums alone, Jennifer, I don't. Let's see. I have a breakout of properties out of total number of parcels. 27 didn't respond, 2 said no, and 29 said yes. But that doesn't break out by the boat condos. I don't know.
Why don't we take a brief recess to allow that to do that calculation? I think this is going to be important for us, so let's take a 5 minute at ease.
Would I be a happy chooser?
You're listening to KTOO-FM in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 7:23, and we're on a break from the regular meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau. Let's take a look at the weather. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows 20 to 26, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow in the morning, and chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 40. Wednesday, cloudy, chance of rain and snow, highs around 41. Thursday, mostly cloudy, highs around 43, and Saturday, cloudy, chance of rain and snow, highs around 42. Sunday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain and snow, highs around 44. Currently, the assembly is on a 5 minute break, and when they come back, we will rejoin them.
Don't you ever ask them why? If if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. And can you spend a year, can't know the tears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with yours. They seize the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and see them on your dreams, the one they pick, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Is a low-cost loan available for that, a 2% interest loan available for that assessment?
Yes. Yeah, everybody's entitled to that same low-interest loan. That's what we get for those DEC
and
low-interest loans.
And if I may, do you know what the term of that loan is? I don't remember.
Normally, the 1.5 interest loans are 10 years.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
In the assessment method, the condominiums it's saying are assessed square footage plus a proportional share of the service pipe fees. How is it decided how many service pipe, since obviously not one for each condo, how is that broken down? How many to the property or to the condo, whole condo as a whole? How is it decided that, you know, what proportion, 1/10, 1/50?
I'm sorry, explain that. Ask it again. So
the you know, everybody million. Pays the square footage plus the service pipe fee. But the final doc is condos, square footage plus a proportional share of the service pipe fees. So I'm trying to understand how that works. Is it doesn't sound like there's one service pipe for each condo. It sounds like there's one service pipe for some number of condos. This is what it sounds like.
Correct. I don't know. Do you know, Jennifer? Oh, good.
Phew.
Being quiet.
Yeah.
For most of the boat kind of lots, I'm not sure about all of them, but they were just given one service, so a $1,500 service charge, and that $1,500 was divided between however many units were on the property. That was the service portion of the assessment. And then there was a per condo assessment as well, depending on the square footage of each unit.
How is it applied?
I don't understand.
So you have the service fee, mm-hmm. and then there's a proportional share based on the unit square footage compared to the whole?
Yes.
It's with the one pipe for the whole condo, and that's divided up among all the units?
That's correct.
So the 1,500 is divided up among the 200 units?
No, there are condo buildings on separate lots.
Okay.
And so however many condos were on this lot, that 1,500
so
up was
each
divided.
Each lot
correct.
Has one pipe to it, and then that is divided among the units on
yes.
that lot. Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no anticipation that they ever will be hooked up.
There's
no reason to hook them up.
It's up to an individual condo association.
It's just a way of arriving at a fee that the owners will pay. That's
mm-hmm.
that's all it is. It's not an anticipation of an actual pipe running to wherever they have their boat stored. So, thank you.
Mr. Anderson,
then I'm confused. Then if that's the case, what does one get for a service pipe fee? Does one get a pipe?
They have a sewer service to the property line for
okay.
each lot.
Okay. So they do have the one of one up
mm-hmm.
to each
it's available.
Lot line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The question then before us is whether we wish to accept the role or modify the role. Ms. Tanner.
And I have a question for staff. I think this is for Mr. Hartle, actually. We have before us four letters of objection, but in general, the idea that the boat condos are somehow not a reasonable, it's not reasonable to assess them for sewer connection. Is it within our power to adjust for all of the condos or only the four for which we have letters?
Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. I think you can only adjust those that you have before you. If the others have conclusively waived their right to challenge this assessment, it's the same as when you have a Board of Equalization and Property Tax. You can't adjust the neighbor's property. We run into that every year at the Board of Equalization for the Property Tax. And seems to me the code can be pretty clear on that.
Mr. Anderson?
So you said that there's a pipe to whatever that lot is. There's
mm-hmm.
a pipe. But to connect it now to your individual condo, there's another charge?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that happens anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
There's a hookup fee.
It's not, in other words, this is not a fee to get it right into your place.
No.
It's to get the accessibility.
Right.
So that you could get it in.
Correct.
Your place.
Okay. The pipe's there. There's a connection available for each unit. So it's just a matter of some point in time, if they ever want to connect up, they can. But they'll have to pay for the connect up fee as well as the pipe.
Ms. Tanner.
I would like to make a comment. With regard to one of the testimonies, it was could their assessment be deferred until later, until some point in the future when they would be hooking up. If my comment is that if we were making a change for the entire class, that might be a reasonable request, but because we would only be making a change for three consoles, I think that would be staff to track which owners those might be. Is that true, or is there an easy way to defer?
I don't think there's a mechanism, a code in place to allow us to assess at a later date. I think it's now or it's not going to ever be on that property.
So, question staff, again, I'm trying to wrap my head a little bit out the comment of Mr. Rodna, you know, that they could not put sewer to there. Is that could not because of the condominium's own rules, or is it because of city code?
No, it's not because of city code. Okay. I think he was indicating one difficulty of just physically getting in and doing it and disrupting access to those units. And secondly, I think he indicated the, wherever he is, the condo association currently prohibits that. I don't know.
So this is a
kit.
The city
does not prohibit
issues. It's not city code.
No.
Well, let me wait, Mike. There is a building code restriction,
correct,
as I understand it, which would be a code violation were they to. We understand it's honored. I mean, it may be honored in the breach, but there is a prohibition to actually have water utilities in these units.
Actually, that's right. The mayor is correct. You're currently prohibited from. What we don't want to do, at least at this point in time, because it's not approved, is to have toilets and running. We don't want to make it a live-in type facility because they're not designed for that. So, yeah, I think that's true. You're right. Current city code would not allow sewer to be brought to us, you know, without those things.
I know more about this than about most LIDs we ever get involved in, because as you'll see from the memo dated March 10th, we met with these homeowners and negotiated their fees at some considerable effort, and recognized that in doing so, we passed the cost of that sewer service to those properties on to all of the taxpayers of the city. There is a principle involved here, which is that if real estate benefits from the extension of sewer or water, I assume, that the homeowners, that the owners of those properties, whatever their home or whatever they may be, will benefit thereby. Not tomorrow necessarily, or even 10 years from now, but the value of their property is increased by that, the extension of that service. We have already considered the variation that exists in this area, and that's the source of the problem. There are homes there. There are automobile repair shops. Don Abel has his operation there. It's a very varied district, and trying to apply a uniform rule to all those properties is extremely difficult. The Assembly appointed the committee made up of myself and Mr. Wanamaker and Mr. Sanford to resolve those issues. We did. The vote turned out in favor of it, and I would recommend that the board not adjust these further. There are provisions for expensive assessments like the one that Mr. Holmberg referred to loan that money at a low interest rate. And anything we do to alter the status as it's currently arranged is going to further increase the cost to the rest of the taxpayers of Juneau. That's the long and the short of it. So I hope we will not alter the role.
The question before the board at this point is whether to at this point, accepts the roll as proposed or modify. Let me ask, is there objection to accepting the roll? If not, that is the action of the Board of Equalization. We will adjourn as the board and reconvene as the assembly. We have before us Resolution 2565. Is there a motion? Ms. Danner.
I would move approval of Ordinance 2565 and ask for unanimous consent.
Resolution 2565.
Resolution 2565.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Resolution 2566. Pleasure of the body. Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of Resolution 2566 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That moves us next on our agenda to the approval of the minutes of the February 28, 2011, regular meeting 2011-04. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of corrections. Bear with me, please. On page 2, under ordinances for introduction, B, ordinance 2011-07B, the amount $24,453,289.22, I believe should be $5,753. And if that is...
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And then on page 7, under Resolution 2564, near the top of the page, under Administrative Report, the manager recommends Resolution 2562, and I believe that should be 2564. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to adoption of the minutes as corrected? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Manager, any agenda changes?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. We have one individual who is asked to address the body, Beverly Schoenover.
Hello. My name is Beverly Schoenover. I'm the director of the Juneau Watershed Partnership, and I'm here today to just show you our newest brochure, which is Living Next to a Salmon Stream, How to Be a Stream-Friendly Landowner. The Juneau Watershed Partnership was formed in 1998. We're a local nonprofit organization, and our mission is to promote community stewardship and sustainable use of our local watersheds. We are Juneau's Watershed Council. Our goal is to improve and protect the ecological health of local water bodies, water quality, fish populations, and our fish and wildlife habitat. To meet that goal, we target our work on a few key program areas, including applied research and watershed planning, education and outreach, and communication and collaboration. We are politically neutral, we're knowledgeable, experienced, and we work with dedicated professionals and partners to produce quality work with tangible results. In 2009, we applied for funding to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Coastal Conservation Program to do a citizen-based riparian protection project. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to do outreach and education to landowners in Juneau who live in riparian areas. Riparian means where the land meets the water. And in Juneau, that is a lot of areas, and that's a lot of landowners. We were talking about this project, potential project, to the CBJ Planning Department in the planning phase, and they made the suggestion that it would really help them to have a nice, user-friendly brochure to hand to people at the CBJ Permit Center to give them information on what riparian zones are, why they're important, and what were some tips and suggestions on how landowners can be more stream-friendly in Juneau. And when we say stream-friendly, we mean that landowners who live next to a salmon stream purposely make choices on their property that minimize impacts and pollution to our streams, lakes, and rivers. And the payoff for being stream-friendly is clean water, healthy functioning fish and wildlife habitat, and sustained fish and wildlife populations. After researching a longer white paper for this project, we took that information and created this fun, color, lots of photo brochure that gives stream owners, streamside landowners, some good information on how to reduce human impacts on riparian areas. This brochure explains what a riparian area is, why it's important. We make suggestions to people on what they can do to protect our local water quality. We ask people to scoop their poop. We ask them to keep their grass clippings out of our water. Even though there are two very small things, collectively as a city, they can really impact our water quality. We talk about invasive plants, stream-friendly lawn care, septic system maintenance, and we highlight local guidelines for stream sites development. We offer a list of resources and contacts for streamside landowners. So this brochure will be distributed in the CBJ Permit Center. We hope to raise some funds to send it to all of the streamside landowners in Juneau. We're creating a separate web page on our website for riparian habitat, and people can find this brochure online at junowatersheds.org. We just wanted to come here tonight, show you this brochure, and tell you how much we really enjoyed working on this project. We heard from CBJ planners and our partners that there was a need for this brochure in our community. We took that idea to our funder. They gave us the grant to work on this project. And this is how we keep our organization running. We have a lot of really exciting projects and programs right now, and they're too numerous to name here. So I'd like the assembly and the staff, I would like to invite you to our partnership meeting, which is Thursday, April 7th. 3 to 5 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom. We're going to go over our fiscal year 2011-2012 work plan, try to get feedback from the community, identify opportunities for partnerships, and then start developing new programs and new projects for the JWP. We've always worked very closely with CBJ staff and committees, and I'm here to thank you and ask you to continue to work for the Juneau Watershed Partnership so we can collaborate to develop programs and projects that promote community stewardship and sustainable use of our local watersheds.
Thank you, Ms. Schoenover. Let me find out if there are any questions for you. Ms. Danner.
Thank you. I have actually several, I'm sure. First, what time did you say at the Hangar Ballroom on the 7th of April?
3 to 5, and everyone is welcome to come.
And thank you. Did you say that your organization is a 501c3?
Yep, 501c3 nonprofit. We have been since 1998. It's our 13th year.
What kinds of organizations are represented in your membership?
Our board is getting really diverse. It's very exciting. We have folks who work for the CBJ. We have someone from the planning department, docks and harbors. We have staff from DOT. We have staff from the Pacific Northwest Research Station, staff from NOAA. We have local business owners, a local contractor, and that's just our board. We also have an advisory committee, people from UAS, local business owners, UAS already said. And then our membership is pretty small right now. We used to have 150 members, and we've sort of gone back and really are trying to make meaningful relationships. So we have 35 members, and they're just individuals. We try to work with everybody.
Great. And one more, if I may, Mr. Mayor. There is currently a complaint amongst some members of our community with regard to a smell out by Skater's Cabin. And there's a salmon stream there that the water smells quite foul, and that's unusual for that area. Are you aware of that? Is your organization interested in that kind of a problem?
Definitely. And we've talked to staff here at the CBJ, both at Docks and Harbors and someone who's on my board, in the Planning Department, Forest Service, and the DEC. And I just need to follow up on that because I've been out of town. But those sort of complaints, questions, ideas, I mean, that's the kind of phone calls we want from the community. We really like that. Go to our website, junowatersheds.org. There's a ton of information about local watersheds and ways you can contact us and contact our board and our partners.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Dahl?
I'd like to note that I've gotten the same kind of complaints from the Skater's Cabin area that Ms. Danner referred to, and I would certainly encourage drilling down in that and see what the origin of those odors is.
Yeah. Well, when we find out, we'll get back to you.
And apparently it's visible as well as olfactory.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We move next to the consent agenda. I would have members note that the first ordinance 1A should read Ordinance 2011-01. At this point, any member of the public may ask that an item on the consent agenda other than an ordinance for introduction be withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on that matter. Is there any item that a member of the public would like to have withdrawn? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We move next to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2011-06B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the City and Borough Traffic Code to allow operation of low-speed vehicles on certain roads.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would allow low-speed vehicles to operate on roads with 45-mile-an-hour or less speed limits within the city and borough under certain conditions. The local office of the U.S. Forest Service, which has a low-speed vehicle it would like to operate, was the initial requester for this ordinance. It would adopt the state definition of a low-speed vehicle and require operators to pull to the side of the road to allow faster traffic to pass. And then just notation, version B contains some editorial changes that address the restriction of the driver rather than the vehicle. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2011-06B for the purposes of discussion.
We have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of questions. On page 2 of the ordinance, it says maximum speed of a it tries to define a low-speed vehicle, and it says a minimum speed of 20 miles per hour and a maximum speed of 25, not 45. And I'm curious to hear, first off, whether that is, in fact, I heard 45 from the city manager, and then I'm interested in what kind of a vehicle the Forest Service is proposing.
Mr. Hartle.
I can simply say we took the definition from the state reg, and I believe we got it correct. I will double check, though.
And with respect to the Forest Service, I see we have a representative of the Forest Service here to take care of the question of what type of vehicle we're talking about.
So the question was, Ron Marvin, 2241 Fritz Cove Road, Juneau, representing the Forest Service. Could you state your question again?
The question is simply, what kind of vehicle?
Do you want me to pass out your...
Yeah. Oh, what kind of vehicle?
Yes.
It's a... I'll pass out a thing with a picture of it. But low-speed vehicles, because they don't meet all of the federal safety standards, have a limitation on how fast they can go, limited to the 25 mile an hour. This particular vehicle, I understand, could go 35 miles an hour, but because of the limitation, it has a kind of an electronic governor, which does not allow them to go faster. There's actually a number of these different kinds of vehicles out there on the market.
And so it will be used for...
We're going to use it, it'll mostly be stationed up at the Menhaul Glacier Visitor Center, and a lot of our trips are between there and the district office on Menhaul Loop Road, about a mile and a half away. There will be times, though, when we might go to the valley to a business to purchase something. We've never done this before, but the way that if the ordinance passes, we could go to UAS and to the Forestry Science Lab, which is over in that area too, and still remain on roads which are 45 miles an hour or less.
Ms. Banner.
Just one more follow-up, which is this a 100% electric vehicle or an electric vehicle of some kind?
It is 100% all electric, runs off of batteries.
Great. Thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Further questions, Mr. Morrow? Thank you for your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, to staff, so without this ordinance, what is what is prohibited on roads that are 45 miles an hour or less? I mean, what, as far as all the different other kinds of vehicles that go slower, I just don't know what the rules of the road is now, and you know, what's allowed? Why this is needed in a sense? What's the restriction now,
Mr. Hart?
Sorry, I don't really have a proper answer to that. What's prohibited now that would require this?
Well, I guess I'm wondering why, if they were allowed now, why do we need to have it? And I've heard Mr. Hartle say he doesn't have that answer. Is this something that we could get the information on?
Mr. Marvin may be in a position to do so, since, again, this request originated from the Forest Service. I suspect Mr. Marvin may well be acquainted with issue.
I will try to answer your question. There's a federal law which says that low-speed vehicles can be operated on roads up to 35 miles an hour. But if a state chooses to pass another law, they can be operated on roads up to 45 miles an hour. So Alaska passed a law, I'm thinking about a year ago, that allows that. However, one of the provisions in that act was that each city, there were some restrictions on which cities could actually implement that, but each city needed to pass a special ordinance to allow that. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Thank you.
Ms. Danner.
And do we... I think I heard you say that this vehicle has a governor on it that keeps it at that 25, but would have the capacity to go to 35. Is there any reason why we wouldn't want to pass an ordinance that allowed it to go 35 miles an hour?
I think that would put us into conflict with the federal law, which allows that. Again, it goes back to the safety standard. This particular vehicle, I don't know all the details, but it does not have airbags. It does have safety glass, some steel things in the door, and a couple of other things, and seat belts. But because it doesn't meet all the federal safety standards, the federal act limits it to 25 miles an hour, and no more than that. And it's interesting, with this particular vehicle, if you're going down a hill, you can't even go over 25 miles an hour, no matter how hard you try. So it's, and the code, it's all very electronic, and there is a very specific code you have to plug into the system to override that, and the company does not give that out. So.
Thank you, Mr. Marvin. Again, any further discussion on Ordinance 2011-06B. Is there objection to its adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to Ordinance 2011-07B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of a general obligation school bond in the aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $5,753,000 and providing the form and terms of the bond and for unlimited tax levies to pay the bond.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would authorize the issuance of $5,753,000 in GO bonds that was approved by the voters back in October 6, 2009, for construction or for improvements to Gastineau Elementary School. The voter approval for the Gastineau School was $11.8 million. We have previously issued $6 million for the Gastineau School bonds. These bonds qualify for 70% reimbursement under the state school construction bond debt reimbursement program. If approved, the maximum estimated tax mill levy, assuming full state funding, will be approximately $5 per $100,000 in assessed property value. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-07B? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move serial number 2011-07B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2011-08. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance creating a special assessment for capital improvements by agreement for benefited property owners not included in the assessment roll for local improvement district number 130.
Mr. Manager.
Due to an error by the engineering department, two properties that were not included in LID 130 that we discussed earlier were served with sewer. By not including these odors in the LID process, we failed to give them the opportunity to object to their assessments or comment this evening regarding extension of municipal water to their properties. The department contacted both property owners, explained the situation, and offered them the choice of opting into an agreement exactly the same as received by other owners in the LID or of waiting to be included in a future LID. Both owners chose to receive the financing terms available to LID 130 owners that were discussed and approved tonight. This ordinance would make that happen, effectively acting like a mini LID for these two property owners. The Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended this action as February 14th, 2011 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2011-08? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Dole.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-08 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2010-11-AI. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $480,000 as partial funding for the North Douglas and West Mendenhall Valley Sewer Expansion Capital Improvement Project. Loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Mr. Manager.
As we discussed earlier, these are those low-interest loans that we apply for to the state that help reduce the amount property owners have to pay for the LIDs. In this case, of the $480,000 in low-interest loans that are 10 years at 1.5%, of that amount, $210,000 would be applied to the North Douglas Sewer Expansion and $270,000 to the West Mendenhall Valley Sewer Expansion. Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended this action as February 14, 2011 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2010-11-AI? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I would move adoption of Ordinance 2010-11-A1 and ask for unanimous consent.
AI? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2010-11-AJ. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2 million as additional funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Roof Replacement Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Bartlett Regional Hospital Fund Balance.
Mr. Manager.
The oldest section of the roof is about 43 years old and has begun to leak. Thus, they need the money to begin the construction of this project. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this request at its February 14th meeting. Hospital Board did the same at a February 22nd meeting. Both recommended approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2010-11-AJ? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Dole.
Thank you, Mr.
Mayor.
I move Ordinance 2011-08.
Actually, we're on 2010-11-AJ.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. AJ, 11-AJ, and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have before us, under new business, docks and harbors, the contract amendment for professional services during construction of the Otte Bay Loading Facility Phase 2. Mr. Manager?
This contract amendment in the amount of $172,920 would be for PNND, Pradovich, Nottingham, and Drage engineers to perform construction administration, observation, special inspection services during construction of the Otte Bay Loading Facility Phase 2. Project is fully funded by a federal Tiger grant and will be constructed from March 2011 through August 2011. The Docks and Harbors Board recommended this action as February 24th meeting.
Pleasure of the Assembly. Ms. Tanner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move contract amendment for professional services for construction of Otte Bay Loading Facility Phase 2 for the purpose of questions.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I have questions for Docks and Harbors staff and board.
Mr. Stone?
I beg your pardon?
Mr. John Stone.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Just a couple of quick questions. In our packet, there was, in addition to the PNND, letter, there was also a Morris Engineering fee estimate. Is that related to this particular issue at all?
Yes, the Morris Engineering Group is the electrical engineer, so they will be doing the electrical engineering related services for the project. They're a subconsultant to PNND.
And so is that in addition to the $172,920?
I'm sorry. No, that's incorporated into it. You can see that on the bottom of the spreadsheet. It's a Morris Engineering Group, Electrical Engineering Services, 9510.
Great. Okay, got it. And then if I may, Mr.
You have
Mayor,
the floor.
Thank you. In the letter from Mr. Somerville, first paragraph, he says, we have prepared and enclosed fee breakdown for the tasks currently anticipated based on our recent discussion to reduce inspection services to a minimum. We do not plan to provide complete coverage fabrication or on-site inspection services under this proposal. And I'm just interested to hear if that is a change and how you anticipate covering the inspection requirements for this project.
Sure. It's not a change. We've typically been doing that on fairly simple projects like this. So there's not a lot of uncertainties. We're not expecting many issues, so we'll try to hold the level of services to a minimum. And we try to target it to exactly what we think are the critical issues for the project, and that's what we're doing in this case. And then we can supplant it with my staff. I have some engineering staff that can fill in as necessary to try to keep costs down. So it's basically a cost-saving measure in lieu of having an engineer out there 100% of the time.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Stone. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Any further comments on the proposed motion? If not, is there objection to approval of the contract amendment for professional services for Auk Bay Loading Facility Phase 2? Seeing none, so ordered. That brings us next to staff reports. Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two short things. One, a quick overview on radiation, and then also with Mr. Stone on the phone, I'm going to go ahead and pass out a draft finance committee schedule for your information.
Mr. Manager.
The mayor and I had talked, I think, earliest this week or last week, and the issue, of course, was radiation and the concern and all the information on the TV that we're getting about, obviously, the situation in Japan, and thought it would just be useful, one, to provide some information to everyone, and two, let you know that it's on our radar screen. We are thinking about it. And so Tom Matisse, our emergency program manager, put some information together for me. I think he did a very good job. And it does contain information which I did speak to briefly on Capitol Friday, just for people to be aware of, to think about, and if in fact we do run into the very unlikely situation that we're encountering levels of radiation that are a problem, things they can do in terms of staying indoors, keeping things closed, not using ventilation units, those sorts of things. I think also of use was a site that people could access to provide real-time radiation readings. And we do have a unit. It's the same location as the air quality unit that we have for wood smoke. It's on top of – it's a separate unit, same location for DEC that monitors radiation levels 15 times a day on top of Floyd Dryden School. Also, I sent all of you an email today that was forwarded to me from Fire Chief, indicated that we also have a second radiation detection unit installed by EPA. And I don't know why, but you could see from the email they're being very quiet about the location and the fact that it's here. So, I'm sorry, I can't even explain that, but we do have a second unit that is detecting any possibility of radiation levels other than what we're currently experiencing. So I think hopefully that's some comfort for people that ask that, in fact, we do have several units that are doing ongoing sampling of radiation. And I think we are certainly looking at what people can and should do in the case we start running into problems.
Are there any questions on that subject to the manager? Not?
Thank you.
Mr. Manager.
And the second sheet I passed out is it's a draft of a proposed finance committee schedule. And it's modeled after the same schedule we had last year. And it's for your consideration, and I'll defer to the finance chair as how you'd like to handle this. We have meetings starting on April 6th, Wednesday, and meetings would run from 5:30 to 7:30 every Wednesday evening until we're through. And you'll notice on the back, halfway down, we have listed other topics that staff have heard raised by you all or others as possibilities for discussing in finance. The unfunded liability for PERS and TERS, debt service, current and future, property assessments, how do we go through those valuing property in that process, and also a discussion of our investment portfolio. So those are things that we've added. We haven't necessarily distributed them amongst the meetings. And then also, I think for your consideration, is in the past we've always had two departments, CBJ departments, come in and give a briefing sort of on what they do and somewhat finance related. We have gone through all the departments in the city and borough of Juneau, so I guess I put it back to you if you want to continue doing that, and if so, I think it would be of most value if you let me know which of the two departments you would like to have come before you in finance again. We'll make that arrangement. And then lastly, you'll see a pretty long list of groups, grantee-type groups, that in the past we have scheduled. They've either provided written information or in some cases come before you and talk about what they do and funding they've received in the past. So, you know, there's different ways of approaching that, too. I don't know if you want to have all those groups come in and speak, or just let them know that if they have any thing to offer different than what we have provided for recommended funding here, they'd be available for questions when they're taken up that night. I think there's a couple different approaches.
Mr. Mayor, can I work with the city manager on this?
Mr. Stone, were you speaking?
Yes. Can I work with the city manager on this? And I don't want to take everybody's time up, but it's going to become pretty intense. And I think it's important for us to go through all this, and I think we all ought to be focused on what we're doing. But I don't want to waste people's time.
Let me recommend that members provide feedback to the Finance Committee Chair that we approve the schedule at our April 6th Finance Committee meeting, making the commitment now that we will be having that Finance Committee meeting.
Okay.
And then leave it to Mr. Stone, to you to make a recommendation at that meeting about any adjustments to this plan, including the question of whether we wish to consider hearing from two specific departments and any other suggestions people may have to either streamline the process.
I think, you know, we are missing the deputy mayor, but I know that we started this process, Mr. Mayor, but it's just, you know, what is the consideration of the Assembly? What do they want?
And my suggestion is that members send messages to you directly or talk with you directly for
Right.
Formulate a recommendation to us on the 6th.
Right.
Is that acceptable to everyone here? Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. With that, we turn to Mr. Hartle. Do you have anything to report tonight? Then we move to assembly reports, and you all have, I trust, had a chance to review the two issues that I had calendared. One is a proposal that the assembly, in essence, sponsor a Citizens Academy, which I suggest might run concurrent with the school year beginning in the fall. Let me ask if there are any reactions to that suggestion. Mr. Anderson?
I would certainly hope maximum number of people attend, because maybe it'll minimize the questions arising during the course of the year. That's a great idea. I hope it attracts a lot of attention.
Mr. Anderson?
I also think it's a great idea having manageable time that people, not a huge amount, but that people can get some real briefing on how things go and how things proceed, how policies move through. I think it's a wonderful idea, and like Mr. Dahl, I hope a lot of people will take advantage of this.
Ms. Tanner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could you just elaborate for the benefit of the people on the radio a little bit more about this?
I'm suggesting that we do a program running over the course of the school year that is 9 sessions, one held each month for a limited period of time, approximately an hour, at which point at each session a department would review its activities and allow for public Q&A. And people could come to any session they wanted, but as perhaps a slight incentive, those who would attend 7 or more in my proposal would receive a certificate of having completed the Citizens Academy.
And I'd like to add my thoughts to Mr. Anderson's, which is, I think it's great any time we can help the citizens of Juneau to understand their city government better.
Thank you. I take it that this is a green light to go ahead, and I should say that Mr. Swope has been quite gracious, willing to have his department heads work on this project. The second concept is a pedestrian zone, that is to take advantage of our new parking garage to basically be able, at least on an experimental basis, close off front between Franklin and Main Streets and Seward at 2nd on down for a better part of a day once a week. And my suggestion is to use that mid-May to mid-June just to see what it generates in terms of, again, being traffic-free and allowing it to be a pedestrian-only zone. Now, obviously, this needs to be done in consultation with property owners, DBA, in terms of hours or whether this is something that they're would be supportive, but the first question is whether this is something the Assembly itself would like to pursue. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I think this is also a great idea. As long as we get our input from the business owners and the DBA and everything, I think looking towards experimenting with something like this is a wonderful idea, so I fully support that.
Any other Assembly comments? Ms. Tanner.
I would like to see if we could do it in conjunction with some other special events that are downtown, perhaps the Maritime Festival, or an obvious choice is the 4th of July, but I think that's a good idea as well.
Yes, Ms.
Becker. I think it's a good idea too, but I would wonder if we start doing it with events that will change the days, and that could be very confusing to the public. I mean, maybe, are you planning on it being like every Monday, whatever, that kind of thing, or how are you planning to do it?
My suggestion was that we look either at a Friday or Saturday,
right,
and that we just do it on a 4-week basis, trial basis, to see whether it is it creates a different atmosphere, one that, that the public and the business community can support. So I'm not thinking as far as the 4th of July, for example, but just trying to create a downtown no-car zone. I take it that there's general support to pursue the idea further. Okay. With that, we move to committee reports, and I will begin with the Public Works and Facilities Committee. Mr. Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded the items we saw on the agenda tonight, and we'll meet again on the 4th of April. By the way, I should mention that Public Works and Facilities heard the same proposition for the construction of a ramp and a cul-de-sac at, in Douglas as the CB, that the Public Planning Commission had heard just a few days before. It declined to give approval to that, but we have thoroughly explored that subject and asked the manager to come back with some details on alternates, which may be available to CBJ.
Thank you. I turn next to the Finance Committee, Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We met on March 2nd, and I will tell you, in my history of the Assembly, it was the longest Finance Committee meeting we ever had. And there were some great, it was a lot of good discussion about the future of the city and where we're going with sales tax. There was discussion about property tax. It was a very deep discussion about the finances of the city, and I thought the committee was very engaged, and it was very, I've never seen it like that. And I thought it was very well done. And staff did a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. That brings us next to Lands and Resources, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I have a couple items, and one of them I'm going to need some guidance on from your staff. If you've noticed in your red folder, there is a letter that on April 1st dated that dear Oscar Cedeno. It's about the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and it's a letter that was drafted in through the Affordable Housing Commission, passed through Lands Committee. You also, on part of that, there was a letter from AWARE Director Sarah Tavachnik that she's been working with Scott to modify this letter. And that's, you know, I've talked with the manager, and they're in agreement with how the modification should go, plus probably some editorial changes here. Here's my problem, Mr. Mayor, is that when I look at my minutes for the Lands Committee, it said that we moved this to the Finance Committee. It did not say we moved it to the Assembly.
Let me ask if there is any objection to the Assembly taking up the matter now. Hearing none.
Thank you. Then I would make a motion that the Assembly instruct the manager to take this letter with the appropriate additions, both from the discussions with Ms. Tavachnik and Mr. Siamber, and with his own judicious re-editing of the format to be appropriate, and authorize him to send this letter off.
Mr. Manager.
Thank you. And just... Just to add to what Mr. Anderson said, I think probably the reason it went to finance is you will recall the letter did have a commitment in it. I was committing to a $75,000 match to what they were asking for, and I got back to them and said, I can't do that. First of all, it's not my authority, and second of all, I recall clearly the discussion last year where in funding the position, we agreed to fund it that year, but there was a considerable amount of discussion about how that position intended to continue to attract funding in future years. So that's probably the confusion for getting it to finance. There was a finance piece. That's no longer in here. So I think with with some editing, and the letter doesn't really flow the way I would write a letter, so I'm going to change it. I won't change anything substantive, but make it a little more readable, and we'll get it sent with your approval.
The motion has been to direct the manager to
draft and edit.
Draft and edit. Sign and send. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And then just, we did meet on March 14th, and a number of informational and other items came before us, the Lance Committee. And the one that I think is just most worth noting is that their ongoing discussion with Archipelago Properties to gain both easement, both property purchasing for that. You know, we have an easement on the highway there and for the sidewalk, and it would give us that actual sidewalk that we, plus an easement through the property. I mean, the property, we have an easement. It would give ownership of a pass-through to the seawalk there. And so the Lands Committee staff recommended. Lands Committee has been, well, they're in negotiations over this. It will come back to us again when such a negotiations have been completed on this. So that's just informational. And we're meeting again on April 4th.
That brings us next to Human Resources Committee, Ms. Banner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At its regular meeting immediately preceding this one, the Human Resources Committee reviewed several applications for open seats on several boards and commissions, and we have recommendations for this body. First, with regard to the Fisheries Development Committee, the Human Resources Committee recommends reappointment of Jim Becker and Glenn Haight for terms expiring January 31st, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And then we heard from Juno Affordable Housing Commission and would recommend the reappointment of Norton Gregory, Sherry Parton, and Honeybee Anderson for terms expiring January 31st, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Third, we heard from Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. The Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Dixie Hood, Christopher Martell, and Odin Rudy to terms expiring February 28, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And finally, we have two open seats on the Social Services Advisory Board and had one applicant for consideration. The Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Bill Dillon to an open seat expiring September 30th, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
That's all, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us next to Assembly Liaison Reports. Begin with Ms. Gray.
I would just say that the Sustainability Committee is still hard at work on the Climate Action Plan, regular meetings, and still in the information gathering stage, but work is proceeding on that. Also, the Juno Affordable Housing Fund, the application is ready for the first, the preliminary application for the first round of grants under the funding that the Assembly provided for the Affordable Housing Fund. So I'm pleased to see that that's going forward.
Thank you. Ms. Tanner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Docks and Harbors Board continues to work diligently on several fronts. So unless there is a specific question on one project or another, I am comfortable reporting that this board is working diligently to make sure that the public interest is served.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just the Alaska Committee, I hope that you all know, sponsored that nice reception during the Southeast Conference. It was very nice and very well received. The school board has been meeting and did approve a budget this last Wednesday after passionate testimony and lobbying by many of our public. It was just very, very difficult thing that lasted very late in the evening for the school board. They will be coming to you tomorrow or Wednesday night at 5:30. That was an incorrect at one time, just so the public knows it's 5:30. And then the other thing is the activity committee, the school board activity committee, continues to meet. And there was a report put out that I believe will probably come to you also, that 68% of our JDHS students are involved in school activities this year, and 57% of Thunder Mountain, not counting the spring activities, which will bring that number up considerably, which is a 28% increase over the last time this report was done. And I think that that's just important for you to get your hand around and arms around when you know that there'll be money requested for activities from the school board. And that's all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. While there is not we don't have an assembly liaison assigned to it, I attended today's Rainforest Recovery Center Advisory Committee. There's been some concern over the years with Rainforest Recovery. They're doing much improved, and the time where Matt Felix with NCAD has been coming back and being running, that he will be leaving that position then in a few more months, and they'll be transitioning to a new management structure there. It does seem to be going well. I know that they mentioned, and I'll look to the manager for confirmation, that Mr. Felix mentioned that since the manager was very concerned with the amount of police calls that had to be going towards picking up people and taking them to Rainforest, and that number has, he said, almost disappeared. Is that...
That's fair.
It's
almost
going in that direction. Okay.
Yeah,
much fewer than it has been.
That's,
and
that's
so,
correct.
And that we appreciate that, because that's not what the police need to be doing. So they'll continue in that direction. I think they're doing a very good job in trying to keep working with the community and working with the hospital and to make this a successful operation. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission met on March 8th, and in addition to the CBJ project review for the ramp and cul-de-sac in Douglas, which it declined to grant its approval to, the Planning Commission also heard a request from the Breakwater Inn for a change, a zoning change from D5 residential to waterfront commercial. The Planning Commission declined to approve that, but it does present its owners, I think, with something of a dilemma, because they may not extend their current property under the D5 rules, and the Planning Commission, and I think probably certainly their neighbors, are not much interested in having them included under a waterfront commercial designation. And so, in my view, the Breakwater is in a pickle because its ability to continue in its current mode is limited, and it probably is not going to be permitted to make any changes in its in a kind of businesses that are conducted on that property. So we may not have heard the last from that particular location. The Planning Commission will meet again on tomorrow night on the 22nd. The PRAC has been in a vacation mode for a while, but it will meet again on Wednesday night, the 23rd, and I think it's going to be in 224. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Stone.
Mr. Mayor, just to say that Bartlett's working on a lot of things. You know, they're replacing their roof. There's a lot of things going on. They are working very, very hard. And I just don't think a lot of things that we're involved with are prime time for discussion. But they're very active.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. And
with that, three presiding officer matters. One is that we do have a committee of the whole meeting next Monday evening. Not next Monday evening, but on the 4th of April, 2 Mondays from tonight. AJ Mining Committee will be having its next meeting at 5:30 in chambers on March 30th. And you all will have received notice today of a special assembly meeting scheduled for noon on Thursday dealing with reapportionment. The timing is unfortunate in terms of having to rush this, but the reapportionment board itself has announced that it will be taking public testimony here in Juneau on Friday. We are just now receiving the data ourselves to be able to work the matter. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss the CBJ position with respect to redistricting in Southeast and in particular in Juneau. We'll be meeting with our consultant, Jim Baldwin, at that time and hopefully formulating not only a message for the board but also our strategy a little longer term, which is to say over the course of the next couple of weeks since the deadline for presenting any alternatives to the board in this first iteration is at least tentatively set right now for the 30th of March as well. And so noon here in chambers on Thursday. Two other quick matters. Presiding officer, I wanted to note that the city received recognition by the editors of the Sunshine Review for the City and Borough of Juneau as a Sunny Award winner, which is to say basically our website has been identified as one of 100 communities from more than 6,000 government websites that were reviewed, that was viewed to be the most transparent and scored as an A. And then finally, I would like to specifically acknowledge the recognition which our city clerk, Lori Sika, received as a designation as a master municipal clerk. And we're very proud of that fact. And we already knew that she was a master, but I think it's pleasing to know that she has received this official recognition. With that, we move to assembly comments and questions. I'll begin with Ms. Crane.
I neglected in my committee report for Human Resources to mention that the full assembly sitting as the Human Resources Committee will be considering interview applicants for Docks and Harbors, the Airport Board, and Eagle Crest, and we'd like to recommend the date of May 9th to this group. Does that work?
Is it a problem for anyone here? May 9th. We'll move ahead on that date.
That's great. Thank you very much. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I have a brief statement to read. It's with extremely mixed emotions that I announced that I have accepted a position to chair the Public Administration Department at California State University, San Bernardino, beginning July 1 of this year. And as a result, I will be submitting my resignation from the Assembly effective after our May 23rd Assembly meeting, wherein we approve the final approval of the budget. I will continue to take my responsibilities very seriously until that date. I can honestly say that serving on the Assembly has been the high point of my life in Juneau, and I will deeply miss participating in the ongoing life of this great community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I'll comment in a moment, Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two things. One, at the Southeast Conference, the Southeast Solid Waste Authority offered a resolution
draft resolution, which it asked that municipalities in Southeast adopt and submit in support of the Solid Waste Authority's FY 2012 legislative appropriations request. And I wonder if the Assembly would consider having this appropriately edited and be considered for adoption by the Assembly.
Is there any objection to that course of action? Hearing none, so ordered.
And secondly, I'd like to say that I am devastated by Mr. Anderson's departure, and I won't have anyone to look over my shoulder and tell me I read from the wrong page or cited the wrong authority. It's unfortunate, but I certainly wish him all the best.
I'm not done yet.
Mr. Stone. I think we may have lost him at this point. Mr. Anderson had notified me earlier of this decision, and it's with a heavy heart for us. It will be a great loss, but in keeping with Mark Twain's admonition about early demise here, we will take great advantage of you over the course of the next couple of months and have a chance to pay our appropriate respects to you for your service. I did prepare a memorandum, the recommendation with regard to filling the vacancy, and I pass it out now, primarily because I think it will be helpful for us in making sure we have as smooth a transition as possible. My recommendation is that the Assembly immediately solicit letters of interest from citizens who qualify for the position. Mr. Anderson represents District 2, the Valley District, and therefore the replacement will need to satisfy that requirement as well. But that we give people, in essence, a little more than 2 weeks to submit letters of interest, that we then take the matter up at our April regular meeting and review those who have applied. And if we need to, we can then take additional steps, whether it means interviews or some other point to sort out. Mr. Anderson?
Yeah, one thing that we sort of missed noting is that my term ends this October. So this is the completion of my term to this October.
That's correct. And if it had been following October, the matter would be up for election in any event. But it will be to fill a term expiring in October 2011. Let me ask if members are comfortable with this particular direction. Ms. Becker.
Is this, thank you, Ms. Mayor. Do you think this is enough time, April 7th, to?
I think people who have an interest will know within 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other concerns or comments? Then, Madam Clerk, I would trust that you would make an appropriate release tomorrow morning. And again, those applications would be delivered, or letters of interest would be delivered to the City Clerk's office. With that, is there any other matter to come before the Assembly? Mr. Manager, anything further?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hartle?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Then we are adjourned.